you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Uh-huh.
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots independent media and our media environment. My name is Paul Riesmanall. I'm your host, and at the controls is producer and cub reporter, Drew Tirico. On today's edition of Media Geek, we will be talking about zines, the zine library at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, and a zine reading coming up tomorrow at the Independent Media Center. We'll also get some audio that just came from the press conference held at the Swan Administration Center on the University of Illinois campus, where a sit-in protest against the university's chief mascot ended just about an hour ago. It's something you don't want to miss, so do stay tuned. So, since yesterday morning, about 6 a.m., a group of about 40 protesters walks of life, really, sat in at the Swan Administration Building at the University of Illinois campus in protest of the university's mascot, Chief Illini Wack, and also in protest of the fact that the board of directors was supposed to meet yesterday, and amongst the items that they were going to address was the chief issue and possible resolutions to abandon the chief mascot and the fact that the board of directors did not meet, and therefore is once again putting off the issue of the chief. And so you had the opportunity, I know, yesterday to speak to some folks who were there sitting, and you also went today for a press conference at 4 o'clock p.m. When the sit-in ended.
That's right, yeah. There was a broad coalition of people that were behind the sit-in. There was only 40 people that actually did the sitting that were willing to risk getting arrested for this event. But there were a lot of groups behind all of them. They emphasized that throughout the sit-in that they were getting food from a lot of different groups, that there were groups that were bringing them news, they had internet access, so they were blogging out and posting to the independent media website and among others. You know, so this really was sort of a grassroots movement that has, you know, that took them to where they are. And in this interview I did with Damian Cogan, he'll talk a little bit about the PRC's perspective, which is the Progressive Resource Cooperative.
You know, what was interesting is that I really thought it was interesting that someone had a weblog and on a sort of easily updatable website going on from inside the sit-in. Mm-hmm. I found the link on the UCIMC website, www.ucimc.org, and there's a link on the MediaGeek website because the stuff is still there at www.mediageek.org. I posted about it earlier today.
Okay, so let's... First of all, we'll hear Nancy Kanner's statement about the sit-in.
And she's the chancellor of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus. Mm-hmm.
And she is known to be, someone who is opposed to the chief. She wants to figure out a way to end the chiefs being a mascot. But I think that she was a little bit peeved about the way that they went about doing this. She's afraid that this is sort of going to hurt the movement. But he'll hear what she has to say right here.
Today I met in extended discussions with leaders of a multicultural coalition against the chief made up of students, faculty, alumni, native leaders, and community members. We have reached an agreement to bring an end to the coalition sit-in at the Swanland Administration Building. As a result of the agreement, representatives of the coalition will meet with Representative Edward Acevedo, Senator Miguel Duvalier, and the Illinois Legislative Latino Caucus, and with Senate President Emil Jones and the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus in Springfield on April 27th. In addition, 8 to 10 representatives of the coalition will have an opportunity to meet with consultants from the North Central Association during their focused visit to the campus on April 26th. The coalition leaders and I have worked hard to come to a set of agreements under which the group could leave the building. Members of the coalition will be leaving the building in the good condition in which they found it. On behalf of the campus administration, I have promised the group that there will be no disciplinary action. I am posting these commitments. Posting these commitments on the main campus website at www.uiuc.edu.
And were those cries of "We love you, Nancy"?
Yes, they were. Towards the end? She's pretty popular among the anti-chief movement because she has done a lot of work to help their cause. And after she spoke, a representative of the PRC came up and talked about the I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. They said that there was not going to be any disciplinary action brought against them, and they said that they were, that Trustee Carroll was going to bring the chief item to the agenda on the meeting that they were going to have in June. So that initially that was not on the agenda, but now it has been brought back to the agenda by Trustee Carroll through the negotiations because of the sit-ins. So they actually have made some real progress because of this. So now I'll hear a little bit from Damian Cogan about what he had to say. He's a representative of the PRC.
So is this the first time the PRC has taken a step sort of over the quote-unquote legal boundary to send a message?
Yes, we feel that we have exhausted all other options, and we've tried rallies, we've had meetings with trustee members, we've been present at public comment sessions, and time again, the board has demonstrated that they do not listen to the voice of the students and the community members that are concerned with racism on this campus. We were driven to this action by the Board of Trustees because we had no other option.
What would you say in response to the people that are saying that this has gone too far, this is crossing a line, you're costing the taxpayers money?
I would ask them to take a look at their history book and ask themselves if they thought that the sit-ins of the civil rights movement was costing too much money, if the struggle for women's suffrage was costing too much money. If they would rather save taxpayers' dollars than having the women's right to vote, they would rather save taxpayers' dollars than having equal rights for African Americans, then they have their priorities completely off track.
Are you happy with the outcome of today's event?
Yes, I think we ended up victoriously. We were able to get concrete gains from the Chancellor. I'm sorry. We were able to get concrete... Don't quote me on concrete gains from the Chancellor. Concrete gains from the university. It's important. Concrete gains from the university. And we left in terms that we could agree with.
And, well, thanks, Damian. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, sir.
And, yeah, he was also talking to a reporter there that was writing down, so he was doing that for the...
You were multitasking.
Exactly. Yeah. It was kind of a mini press conference after the press conference that a couple of us were having.
Well, thank you, Drew, for going out there and getting that with running with mini disc in hand after editing today's show.
I just edited it, yeah.
Because, you know, we're trying to practice what we preach around here, try and get a little bit of news coverage in when we can, and this is something which we often fear will not be covered fairly in the mainstream press and in the mainstream electronic media, especially, and television, which is looking for the 5-second soundbite, and will probably be very unlikely to even play the entirety of Chancellor Cantor's statement, which is only a few minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're trying to do a little bit of that. Amy Goodman will be here live in the studio a week from today, 5:30 Friday, April 23rd. We'll be interviewing her, talking about her new book, and also I really want to talk to her about making independent media, because Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Have gone from being kicked out of the WBAI New York studios a number of years ago during the Pacifica struggle, being in exile, to coming back stronger than ever, really, and really plugging into a grassroots progressive movement that's happening again in the United States, and people who are looking for grassroots progressive media. I know that I've heard reports that at every stop on this book tour she's doing, the turnout has been much larger than expected, and people are really responding to what's going on Democracy Now!, what Amy Goodman does, and what so many other people are doing in grassroots independent media. So I'm really looking forward to talking to her and having that half hour to maybe talk about some other things that maybe she doesn't always get a chance to talk about in various interviews and in Talked. So let's get back into the Media Geek content.
That's right. We've got zines today. We did an interview with Adam.
Adam Davis.
Adam Davis. He's a librarian at the UCIMC Library in charge of the zines there, which we'll hear all about, I'm sure, from him. But the IMC, obviously, we've talked about it before. It's located in downtown Urbana, and they have a library there full of books, magazines, zines, which you'll hear more about.
And videos. And all sorts of really good progressive, in some cases, underground books and culture. It's a kind of collection you're not going to see too many places. Mm-hmm. It's open to the public to read and browse. And if you're a member of the IMC, you can check things out. So let's go ahead and listen to Adam. So you have been active with the Independent Media Center Library now.
Yes.
How long?
Since about August of last year. Actually, before August 2003, I moved here in August, and I was interested in joining the library group at the IMC since maybe spring of last year. So
you knew about it before you moved here?
Yes. I had a friend who lived here who told me about it. She knew I wanted to become a librarian and knew that I was really interested in zine culture. So I started contacting a couple of the librarians here and got really familiar with the collection and with the people fairly quickly because I love it. Absolutely love it.
So you had the opportunity to work with or go to a zine library or a collection like they have here at the IMC?
Well, I know they exist in the United States and around the world, but I've never been to a zine library like this before. We must have now about 300-400 zines cataloged, which I think is probably one of the largest collections, at least circulating collections in the Midwest.
Wow.
So
for maybe people who aren't familiar with the term, in your own words, if you could tell us what a zine is.
Sure. Zine is short for fanzine. Basically, it's a self-published magazine on any number of topics you can imagine. Right in front of me, I have a copy of Stairway the Haven, and it's a zine about living under Stairway. I've got a zine called 1544 West Grace that's about an apartment building, and he's the person who publishes this is now on his, I don't know, 25th issue. So people have a lot of things to talk about and want to get it published, and mainstream publishing sometimes just isn't the way to do it.
And these are often photocopied, sometimes hand-drawn, or
yep.
done on a typewriter. Sometimes they're... Some people do them offset, but
right.
they can be all different kinds of methods of printing.
Right, all different types of methods. And one thing that's really unique about zines is that a lot of the creators want to show their mistakes and want to show their misspellings within their zines. You know, to show that this is not, you know, not a perfect art, and maybe that it's imperfect is an art. And I really appreciate that, and I think it really helps the readers to realize that they too can produce a magazine, a zine, a book even, if they wanted to, that they have the tools to publish.
So then, but zine libraries then aren't so common. So zines, I guess, are not typically in your regular public libraries. We think of them more university libraries.
That's correct. Partly because they're published on an irregular basis, partly because they're really hard to find unless you already have connections within zine culture. There are some guides to zine guide, that review zines, that lists all the zines that are created in a year, or I think it's done yearly. So there are resources for libraries to get a hold of them, but they just don't take the time. And I think maybe possibly the material that zines cover, you just can't fit into a neat little collection in a public library or an academic library.
It would be hard to fit it in with the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, I wouldn't even start to try. And I don't think the Library of Congress subject headings, which I think I'm getting a little bit too far on that, but Library of Congress subject headings don't begin to, you know, describe what a zine is or what the contents of a zine is.
Because even though it might have a title like 1544 West Grace, and you say, well, maybe it's about apartment buildings, it's not necessarily about apartment buildings.
Right. And each issue, this is the other problem with public libraries and academic libraries collecting zines, is that each issue can have a totally different topic. They might have the same genre, you know, a political zine, a personal zine, but, you know, depending on what happens at 1544 West Grace, the zine could be about a new neighbor or a garden or the police coming over. Mm-hmm. So they're really hard to, you know, put into any collection, really.
And so had you been reading zines before you got involved in the zine library?
Yeah,
here?
I have a very, very small collection, but I just love reading zines. My friends, you know, back where I live produce zines, and my friends here produce zines. And also, it's a great way to get to know new people. You know, usually, they have contact information. You can write to them. They're really, people who create zines are really a lot more accessible than authors of books usually are.
About how long do you think you've been reading zines? Have you ever written a zine?
I've never written a zine, but it's always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. I always come up with great ideas, but for some reason, I've never created it. I think right now, I'm really happy. You know, putting them in a place where people can get them and people can read them, create their own, submit zines. I really like being part of it, part of zine culture in that way.
And so you said there's 300 to 400 zines in the library here.
Yep.
How do the zines come in?
A lot of times people make donations either of zines that they've made or zines that they've collected that they want to let the public see. We have someone up in Homewood, Illinois, Anthony Rayson, who not only creates zines and submits them, but is connected to a lot of zine creators or zinesters who create political zines. And he sends us so many zines.
And he sends them for free?
He sends them for free. A lot of times, a person who creates zines finds out that our collection is accessible to the public. Usually they're really good about sending free zines, and at the most they cost $2 to $3.
So it sounds like the public accessibility is something special about the IMC library here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't find these things in any other library in the area that I know of. Some academic libraries have started to collect them because of their value as primary resources. You know, in 50 years, if you pick up a copy of, for instance, Mazel Tov Cocktail, it's a primary resource about Jewish punk culture in the mid-90s. But accessibility in this town is really important because you can't get it anywhere else.
You also mentioned that we have 300 to 400 zines that circulate. Is that typical that a zine library would have their zines circulating?
The only other alternative library that I've been to, and I didn't actually see any zines in it, but I know they have some, are archives. And you can't see them like you can here. You can ask for them at the circulation desk, and you can sit down and you can read them, and there are a lot of restrictions at that particular library, but they're not accessible. You can't take them out here. You can actually check them out, bring them home for 2 weeks if you're a member of the IMC, and then return them.
Aren't you afraid of losing some?
I'm really afraid of losing some, but I trust people enough that they have enough respect for the material, enough respect for the hard work that people put into it, that they'll bring it back.
Are you seeing interest in the zine library here growing?
The number of zines that we've actually cataloged and put on the shelf in the last 6 to 8 months has, I think the size has doubled. Mm-hmm. We're having a zine reading this weekend on Saturday. We've had a zine reading. We've had plenty of zine readings here before. So I think zine culture is growing. And people are also interested in creating their own zines. We have a lot of local people who create zines here.
And their zines are in the library, too?
Yes. I'm sure not all of their zines are here. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people who create zines that we know nothing of. But, for instance, we have Rock On by Ariel Clemenzi, Women's Self-Defense, also by Ariel. I've got here sort of a series of zines, Operation War, Operation Unspoken Connection, Operation Enduring Intervention, which is about the war in Afghanistan, which Rob Scott created. And he lives in town also.
So it's a collection from both around the area and all over the country and even globally?
Well, since we have some from Canada, yes. We have international.
We've gone international.
Yes.
Okay.
And we actually we have someone from Canada who submits her zines here, which is really great. And it's really exciting to get them. And they're beautiful.
And we're talking to Adam Davis there, who is the zine librarian at Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center Library. And in the next part, we'll talk about the zine reading going on tomorrow at the IMC 218 West Main Street in downtown Urbana. I'm Paul Riesmanel. At the controls is Drew Tirico, and walked in Eric Sizemore with a walk-in pledge.
Hey, what can I do?
So Eric, what moved you to walk in your pledge here in the waning moments of the pledge drive?
You know, for those of you people out there in Radioland who haven't actually seen Paul or seen Adam Davis, really, I just got to tell you that volunteering and supporting independent media really lends sex appeal. It's amazing. It really is. It really is. I mean, because these are just some powerfully sexy people. Truly, truly.
Thank you, Eric. I didn't realize that was a pitch to give.
Yeah, you're too sexy for this show.
Wow. That's the best pitch we've ever had, isn't it?
Well, we're too sexy for this show. 359-9338. Are we too sexy for your pledge, though?
That's right.
The question I want. Let's hear from two more callers before 6 o'clock. 359-9338.
It's Friday night. You're going to go out on the prowl. You're looking for that extra edge. Give some money to Weft. Definitely.
It'll rub off on you.
Yes.
Exactly.
It'll rub off on you like pheromones.
I feel an inch taller.
Wow. It's and true. He's already a tall man, so this is... This is really, really a great thing you can do for yourself. It's for your esteem. It's to feel better about your community and to keep community radio on the air. 359-933. We take Visa and MasterCard in case plastic is the way to go. Let's go back to the interview.
So you mentioned there's a zine reading this coming Saturday here
at the
Independent Media Center. Again, you know, people may are used to hearing about maybe readings going on at like Borders Bookstore or mm-hmm. something where some author comes and reads. How is a zine reading similar or different from that?
It's similar in that, you know, you've still got a piece of text that someone's reading from, but for some reason, zines really have a personality that's just totally different from any corporate magazine that I've read or any book that I've read. Because the author doesn't feel like they have to go through a whole publishing process and edit and revise. And so that really comes out in zine readings. Authors, you know, will give context to what they said or to what they wrote. There's just a lot of emotion in it, no matter what the subject is.
Living and very often people are reading their own work.
Reading their own work. Unfortunately, since I haven't done one yet, I'm going to be reading from Mazel Tov Cocktail because I relate to it. But we've got a few people reading their zines here in town and also in Chicago that are going to be reading their own zines.
And so the last few zine readings we've had here at the IMC, there's actually been a great exchange between Champaign-Urbana and Chicago.
I actually wasn't at any.
You weren't at any of those. Yeah. I was at the last.
Well, why didn't you explain?
So, you know, which is pretty cool. There's the Self-Publishers Event Coalition in Chicago, and I think it was primarily organized by Brent Ritzel of Zine Guide, mm-hmm. and they've been coming down here. I think this will be their fourth time. And they usually bring a few carloads of people down here to read, mm-hmm. and they set up readings all over Chicago and the Chicago area and mm-hmm. various events regarding self-publishing, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun, and it kind of shakes things up, but it's really cool that they're willing to trade all the way down to Champaign-Urbana.
I feel honored to have, you know, people coming down from Chicago. I mean, because I actually talked to a couple people from other places around Illinois, and they said, you know, coming to Urbana is just, you know, too much for a day trip. But the Chicago peeps,
it's just
going
a couple hours all the way down. Every time it's been a lot of fun. I mean, there's always a great variety in the readings, and we've played some excerpts mm-hmm. on Media Geek here and there, and with luck, we'll record some more and play some more. What kind of readings do we have on tap for this coming Saturday?
Well, we have Media Geek.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, I can't act the ignorant interviewer. Yes, I will be there as well, reading from the forthcoming Media Geek number 2.
That's right. We have Brent, who does Zine Guide and also Tailspins. We've got Silly Little Trouser Monkeys.
And that's a local-based zine.
Yes.
With Brad Bugos.
Yes. We have a couple more coming down, and I really hope that, you know, people will attend, because I think it'll really inspire them to create their own zines and hopefully come back the next time we have a zine reading and read for us.
If there are any zinesters out there in the audience who'd like to read, can they just show up?
Yes, you can just show up. I prefer if you email, if you call me, my email address is iwillresist@hellokitty.com. You can email me. You can just show up if you're interested in reading. It's at 6:30 on this Saturday, the 17th, at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, 218 West Main Street.
Downtown Urbana?
Downtown
Urbana. The same place where the zine library is?
Yep. We're going to hold the reading, I think, in the gallery. But people will be able to browse all of our zines. And all of them are cataloged. Yes, and all of them are cataloged right now, so you can see the whole collection.
All of them?
Oh, yeah. I just finished them this week so that everyone would be able to see them. So
congratulations.
Thanks. I hope people enjoy it.
And they can be checked out if you're a member of the IMC.
If you're a member of the IMC, you can check them out, I believe, for 2 weeks and then return them. And we have little cards that you'll fill out that says what zines you have out or what books, because we have books and magazines also that people can check out and videos.
Yeah. It's like a real library.
That's right. In fact, it is a real library.
That's right. Well, thanks a lot for telling us about this, Adam.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So Adam Davis is the zine librarian for the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center librarians. And you can be a zine librarian, too, or just a regular librarian. You can help out and keep all sorts of great underground and progressive literature available for the community. Email them at librarians, I think it's librarians, at ucimc.org.
That brings us to the close of another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news about grassroots and independent media and our media environment. In the meantime, you can catch up with independent media news at the Media Geek website, www.mediageek.org. There you can also download and listen to the archive editions of the program in MP3 in the open source Ogg Vorbis format. Media Geek is produced live at the studios of Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek's producer is Drew Tirico, and I'm Paul Riesmandel. The Media Geek radio show is free to rebroadcast by non-commercial stations for non-profit purposes. Please contact us for permission to excerpt. Email me at paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.